Joining us in studio, he's been on our show before on the radio side. He is back in Buffalo to appear tonight at Helium Comedy Club in the Cobblestone District in Buffalo. Two shows tonight, two more tomorrow, one show last night. Happy to have Steve Ranazzisi with us. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Hey, how are you?
I'm good, man.
Great
to
have you back here.
Thanks for having me again. Appreciate it.
Many of our viewers and listeners know Steve from his appearance on The League, the comedy series on FXX Network, a seven-year run that ended a couple of years ago.
Yep, now I'm an agent for Jeremy Sprinkle, so I'm here representing Mr. Sprinkle.
Okay.
He's a value player, and I think you guys would be a great asset to the Bills. Jeremy Sprinkle.
If the Bills or anybody else drafts Jeremy Sprinkle, can you imagine the outcry? I mean, the fans would be
Why not?
We drafted a Sprinkle.
Sprinkle in Buffalo. Makes perfect sense
get
to
a
me.
Flurry.
It does. You get a flurry. You have to have a flurry, right? A snow flurry.
Why did you guys stop with the league? 7 years, football fans, sports fans
because
love the
show? Because we can't stand each other anymore, and that's why everyone stops things. No, we had a great time doing the show, and FX was wonderful. It just, you know, to get everyone's schedules together for the specific months that we had to do the show, it just became, you know, a little bit too much after a while.
Who was your favorite athlete to have on the show?
I don't know. We've had J.J. Watt on a couple times, and he was unbelievably talented in all aspects of his life. and so he was like one of our favorites. Terrell Suggs was on the show a couple times, another favorite. But we got to give it up for Antonio Gates, who was the first player to be on our show because he was on a bye week and he had an injury. And, like, literally the only reason I think he did it was because he was like, all right, I guess I'm doing nothing. I'll drive up from San Diego to L.A. and be in this stupid show. So without him doing it the first season, I don't think we would have any great players later on.
Open the door. He probably gave the show credibility.
Exactly.
Players,
and then
right?
The next season we started with Ocho Cinco. And that was, you know, then it was like, then it was the floodgates opened after that. Yeah, it was great.
Antonio Gates should have got paid for that. No, I'm just
He got paid a little bit.
I'm talking about he should have got some real
some points on the back end.
That's
yeah,
right. That's right.
You had a couple of our favorites on the show, including Donald's old teammate, Ryan Fitzpatrick. In fact, when we had you on the radio show a couple of years ago, we talked about that. I went back and looked at parts of that episode earlier this morning. Fitz was like a natural. He's a natural dry
He's a real dum-dum, though.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
real.
I mean, not like...
Yeah,
that
not
much
that
up
smart.
Here. He was. It was quick. I mean, that. I think we shot that scene even before we started the whole season that year. So it was like ESPY week, and he was around in town. Yeah, he's you know, he's a smart guy. He understands sort of how to be himself. That's really what you need to be on our show. It's just to be yourself, and you know, be able to. You know, you're going to take a little bit, be able to give a little bit. And that's what he could do.
He was poking fun at the character Ruxin about his robe was on backwards or something. And,
I mean,
Fitz
and
his
Ruxin
own...
is the smartest amongst us.
Right.
So for to have someone give it to him is fun for us.
You know, I was in town that week, too.
Oh, you were?
I didn't get the call, though.
I don't know who your agent is. I represent Jeremy Sprinkle, and that's my guy. So anything, I'm always out there just pushing sprinkles.
Donald, you play with him, and you work with him on the show, The League. He's a unique guy, and I hope he winds up somewhere in the league if he wants to play, right? I mean, he's unique. He's different.
He's not just smart,
but funny smart, I think.
No,
he's
like
dry, funny smart. Like,
yeah.
He's got a good arm.
He does.
You know?
Really?
I think so. I think he does.
Well, Donald used to be on the other end of his passes.
Yeah,
Donald,
you know, it was good to catch passes from him. You know, it wasn't too much zip on the ball, and that's what you need as a receiver.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I mean, Fitz in the locker room, like even in the huddle, he'd get in the huddle and make jokes in the huddle. And it's like, dude, we only have a certain amount of time to call a play. Like, can we move this thing and get out to the line of scrimmage? But that's just him. That's his personality, man.
Like one-liners, or is he teasing people?
One-liners, teasing people, everything. In the huddle, like during the game.
Steve, that's no place for – jokes.
Well, it depends. If you have time limitations, yeah.
Can you imagine on stage tonight at Helium and the 35-second clock is running and you say, I got to tell the joke here?
First of all, why is there a 35-second clock at Helium? This is not my rider. I'm not going to be put under the shot clock for telling my jokes. But, yeah, I guess, yeah, every profession has their own certain, you know, standards, but he probably did it the way he wanted to do it. At least he wasn't throwing up like other quarterbacks were doing in the huddle.
Yeah,
sheesh.
That's right.
Now, another fan favorite around the country, and now it's like around the world, Marshawn Lynch, you also had on the show.
The greatest.
Yeah.
You asked before, like, he was on the show a couple times as well, and we famously now, I think, made him, we had him as a part of a bit where the cold opening of the season after they lost to the Patriots.
On the Malcolm Butler interception at the goal line.
On the Butler interception. Yeah. We had the cold opening of the season where him and my brother Taco were in a business venture together, and they were having their corporate meeting on the beach. Yeah. And then I come over, and I say, throw me a beer. And Marshawn graciously goes, I'll just run it over to him. And then my brother said, of course. No, no, I'll throw it to him.
Yeah.
And then he goes, what's the worst that can happen? Of course, he throws it to me. I trip and fall into the fireplace and get lit on fire. But he was amazing about that.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they had just lost the Super Bowl. That's me up in flames. But that's not really me.
Good. I was going to ask about that.
Somebody else dressed up like me in the yeah. I don't do that.
It looks better than you anyway.
It does. Look at those calves. Much better than mine. Yeah, but, I mean, he just lost the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we're sitting at the beach. And literally, like, it was like a day at the beach.
His punchline was spectacular, and he said, "That's why you run it."
Yeah, that's why you run it.
How soon after the Super Bowl was that?
I mean, we did shot that in probably July.
Okay, all right. Okay.
So you had some time to kind of calm down.
A little bit of time. I mean, there were no other Seahawks there. You know, I mean, he was the one that was like, "Oh, you know, this was something that happened. If you can't laugh about it, you can't, you know, make light of it. What are we going to do? Go back and try to relive it all the time? Forget it. Let's move on."
Question is, how many other Seahawks could get away with making fun of it?
There were a couple, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know?
He was one.
Sure, if Russell was there, he probably would have got away with it. Yeah. But, you know, like I said, everyone you were saying before about Fitzpatrick, these guys now, especially this generation, they run their own lives. They're their own brands, they're their own companies. Mm-hmm. And they're not unapologetic, but it's who they are. And I feel like they're able to express themselves a little bit easier.
Now, tonight you're at Helium.
Yeah.
Obviously, you don't want this to happen. If you're good at your job, it's not going to happen. But
what?
Has there ever been a time where you're telling jokes and the crowd is just not giving you the reaction you
expect?
Oh,
I thought you were going to say, did you crap your pants on stage?
No. Well, like, did you do that?
No, but I've come way closer to that than Oh, I was like, I'm going to have to say
our producer has done that, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's done that.
I mean, it's happened to me multiple times, but not on stage. No, of course I've had times where people don't laugh. That happens far more often
more than you want.
It happens. Yeah.
And what do you do then? Like, just keep
plowing on. Yeah. I mean, my business, I can point light to it and go, hey, I realize this is not working right now. Let's talk about it. But, you know, I mean, otherwise, you just keep going. You have to keep, you know, you keep moving on.
Yeah.
Been situations where, you know, you're not set up for comedy, really.
Yeah.
It stinks, but you have to do it. Corporate events, things like that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you'd probably rather have any event with an open bar, right, before you go on stage.
Some of them do, but then the people don't. The open bar is after you go on. They want to keep everybody contained.
You want to kill those people,
it's
right?
Terrible. Yeah. Those aren't fun, but you go for the money.
Right.
Comedian Steve Randazzisi joins us, appearing at Helium Comedy Club tonight. One more question I have about the league. How much was scripted? How much was ad-lib? And how did you work that out in the course of shooting?
We worked off an outline. So we didn't have a traditional, like, sitcom script where it was like, this is the scene, then you say this, then you say that. We just had, like, paragraphs of here's who's in it, here's what's happening, here's point A, here's where we got to get to. You guys can figure out your own way, like Curb Your Enthusiasm does.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like Curb. Is that harder to do than have the script?
It's harder for the editors because there's a lot of
choices.
Error. Well, choices is a nice way to put bad comedy.
Yeah.
You know, you could suck out all the air and, you know, you trim it together, and it's really funny when it's tight. But, you know, we've shoot on film, so takes can be 4, 5, 6 minutes. That's a great shot right there. Look at that. Look at a sausage falling out of the packaging. Good goodness.
Are you at the combine?
Yeah, we faked the combine.
Oh, I missed that one.
That's, by the way, that stadium is where the Chargers will be playing this year.
Oh, the soccer stadium.
Yeah, that little soccer stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you just edit out all the stuff that people, you know, don't want to listen to. And
how close is it to reality TV?
No, not at all. I mean, we're characters. We're not, you know.
Yeah.
But I will say I've had people come up to us, me at like shows, and be like, my fantasy league is exactly like your league. And I'm like, it shouldn't be, because we're terrible people. Yeah. And you should realize that as a human.
I've read where people think somehow that you're some sort of fantasy football expert. Sometimes people come up to you.
Again, I never won a championship. I don't know, you know, I don't know what I'm doing. I mean, you know, it's like the ball is shaped strangely. It's going to bounce weird, and that's it, you know. Nobody really knows what they're – this is all just a big thing, a big game, you know.
Hey, Steve, now we're talking a little bit about comedy, and I noticed on Twitter that you had a tribute, actually a really cool video tribute to the late Don Rickles.
Oh, man.
Tell me about, as a comedian and professional, what Don Rickles meant to you and your profession.
There'll never be another Don Rickles. It will be impossible. I mean, we'll have versions and people that are incel comics and things like that, but to do what he did and kind of say the things that he said to the people that he said it to, President Reagan, and you know, the Secretary of Defense,
yeah.
Unabashful, just saying what everyone thinks and not having, you know, not caring at all. You won't see that anymore. Now jokes get vetted through people, and what are you going to talk about? And even if it's like the guy that's like supposedly has the free reign to be able to say whatever they want,
like Dave Chappelle,
yeah, you're still going to get like, what are you going to talk about, Dave? And maybe what's this joke going to be? You know, so it's never going to be as. Nobody vetted Don Rickles. He just knew he was funny and that he was came from a place of goodness, and that was it. So, yeah, it was that yesterday was a rough one. We lost one of a kind.
I was listening to Lisa Lampanelli. She's mm-hmm. kind of a female version of Don Rickles, but nowhere near.
Well, an insult funny. Sort of comedian,
right?
And the way that it comes from a place of you know of good. You're not a mean spirited.
You
person.
Sure? You sure about that? In her case,
I mean, I really know Lisa a little bit, but it's you know it's I don't believe that it's not as funny if people are like you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not as funny if you're like, I think this guy really means it. You know, and just as that, it might be to some people because they might have the same values or whatever. But you know that if it's coming at everyone and there's no one that's off limits, then. It's fair game.
And no one ever had that doubt about Don Rickles, which is part of his genius, right?
No, I mean, and I don't know if anyone saw Kimmel last night, but Kimmel gave an unbelievable tribute at the beginning of his show and showed some clips. And he was not arguably the greatest talk show guest ever. You know, you had him on. It was gold. I mean, I was watching this morning. They were showing the one where he guest hosted for Carson.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's. Was interviewing the guest and he smashed Carson's cigarette box. This is like in the 80s when you could.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then the next night, Carson went to lift it up and he found out right there that it broke. So he's like, Rickles is shooting a show next
CPO
door.
CPO Sharky.
So they, CPO Sharky. Yeah. They took the mic and it was like one of those first ones, like, let's go. And they, like, on the move went with Carson as he interrupted the scene and was like, did you break my cigarette box? And the two of them. And then, of course, at the end, if you watch the whole thing through, Rickles still gets Carson because he goes, at the end, He goes, everyone, Johnny Carson. And Johnny goes, they know who I am. This is my show. You don't have to tell them who I am.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, that's that, to have moments like that.
Rickles was funny until he was
90 years old. He was on Kimmel this year.
Yeah.
So, amazing. Yeah, a real treasure.
Yeah.
Now, when you make jokes about people, obviously you're being vetted for your jokes and everything. But if you make a joke about someone, has there ever been that person that will see you later? And I was like, yo, you like
football player, as a matter of fact. I do this bit about Rob Conrad, who played for the Dolphins.
Yeah, he was Syracuse guy, I think. Syracuse.
Yeah, Syracuse guy. And he was fishing and he fell off his boat.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, he swam all the way back. I did this bit about like it was a complimentary bit about him. But, you know, I have kids and stuff and I just compare it to me and I make the parallel like I would never swim, you know, like that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was doing shows in January in Florida. And my agent calls and he goes, Rob Conrad wants to email you. He lives in Florida. He wants to come to your shows. And I was like, okay. I'm like, he's heard the bit? Like, because in the bit I talk about his wife and like how wonderful she must be and the things she must do to him to make him want to swim 10 miles, right? So I go, he's heard the whole bit, right?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah, you know, he's familiar with the whole bit. So then he comes to the show and he's so nice. And I go, how did you find out about the bit? And he goes, well, my dad calls me up one day and goes, congratulations on your book. I saw it on like in the top charts.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, thanks, Dad, but I didn't write a book. And the name of my bit is The Rob Conrad Story. And it was, when the album came out, it was like, you know, up in one of the top, you know, things you could buy on comedy.
Yeah.
And so that's how he found out about the story that I told about him. But he was lovely. And so was his wife. And everything was cool. But like, those are moments where you're like, oh, this is like a real, I'm going to. Okay, he's coming. Here he comes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, there is that intersection between comedy and sports, or even show business and sports. And
it's
guys like you. There's only a handful of you who kind of take advantage of that, right?
I was always into sports as a kid growing up, football, and you know, across the board. I would be a fan of the show that I was on if I wasn't on it.
Yeah.
And I would be jealous of the person that got to play my role because they got to do the things and meet the people that I did, which was great.
With comedian Steve Ranazzisi appearing at Helium Comedy Club tonight. You grew up on Long Island. You went to school at Oneonta, SUNY Oneonta,
I did,
right?
Yeah.
And you're a New York Giants fan.
I am. Cautiously optimistic Giants fan.
You should be.
As I am every year.
Yeah. Eli Manning fan as well?
Eli Manning.
Okay. Yes,
that
I
was
am.
Your answer.
I am an Eli Manning.
It took a while, right? That was your answer.
For some reason, I always look at him as Peyton's little brother. Yep. It always looks like he's like a little bit of a mouth breathing, like he's like, I don't know, what am I doing? You're like a little deer in headlights
like
sometimes.
He's always
like,
he's
what's
nervous.
Going on? You know, you talk about demeanor, but the guy won 2 Super Bowls, and you honestly can't take that away from him. He's given us so many moments of like unbelievable joy. But yeah, I mean, caution. Like, look at that.
Hey. You know, I always picture him like, hey, I know what I'm doing.
So, I'm excited about Brandon Marshall that we finally have a big receiver to throw to. Mm-hmm. You know, I think like we were saying like Plexico Burress was a great option, and then they had the other receiver that went to Indianapolis after, who's tall. So we need to complement the guys on the inside, the slot receivers, and I think Brandon Marshall can be a good person, a sounding board for Odell Beckham, sort of like someone who can go, look, I'm a big wide receiver in a big market too.
Right. You know, Calm down, Odell.
Yeah, whatever. Down. You know, like here's the things that I deal with and the pressures that I feel. You know,
yeah.
You would know better than I do, but
Odell Beckham
be good for him.
Is Beckham in position to listen to that kind of
advice? I don't know. I don't know anything really about him as a person.
Yeah.
I grew up with Derek Jeter, so there'll never be another athlete in a high market like that. I think in my life, but you know, hopefully Odell listens and can take advice. You know, what else would you do? I would listen to somebody else that was in my position a couple years ago and would tell me and give me advice. Even if I didn't want to take it, I'd still go, well, it's another opinion and something to weigh.
What about how happy were you with Jason Pierre-Paul and them extending him and after his whole incident?
Yeah, I mean, I like him. I really do. He's a unbelievable athlete. Like you can't teach the skills that guy has. I hope that he's like people ripped on him a lot. I don't know how he is, like if he's can stand up to that. You know, people made fun of him and they weren't 100% behind him. And so I hope that he has put everything behind him and just moves forward now because he's ridiculous, you know.
Because of your long-standing success with the league, do you talk about football, NFL, in your shows tonight? Will you talk about the Bills tonight when you're on stage?
Probably not. I did the show last night. I asked who the coach was, and we were talking about Tyrod Taylor. But, yeah, not really. Just, like, some crowd work stuff.
Do you ever hear the phrase, Buffalo is a drinking town with a football problem?
No, I never heard that.
T-shirts are made up like
really?
That. Yeah, it's pretty.
Well, I mean, it's so close. Like the Canadian beer that just flows down here,
like honey.
Yeah, it's so nice, and yeah, so I can see how you guys are like a little bit. It's like you guys are on performance enhancing drugs for beer.
For beer,
you're getting that sweet Canadian stuff.
Is it beer and wings?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I've already had wings once today.
And you already have
them after, yeah. But I've definitely had wings once today.
That drinky thing works to your benefit tonight at Helium or anywhere you go, Roger.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, to a certain extent, the second shows could be a little gnarly sometimes. If people start a little early, depending on what time they start.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but I've always had great shows in Buffalo, and the crowds are always like packed and good, and they're into laughing. You know, no matter what the weather is. I've been here every single time of the year. So what if it's snowing in April?
It's so nice of you to say that. You're 22 minutes into it, and
here we go.
Because this guy whines about weather all the time.
I do.
I get it. You don't want it to snow in April.
No.
But if it's going to snow in April, why not drink some Canadian beer and come laugh at me?
It'll be gone tomorrow.
Now, at the last comedy show that I went to, the comedian – I was sitting very close, and I remember telling my father, I went with my father, and I was like, I don't want to sit that close to the stage because he's going to point us out. And he pointed us out, both of us. And he went on us for like 10 minutes. I'm like, all right, like I can take it. My father is a little sensitive, you know, so it was funny to me. But you ever do that to people sitting right up there in the front row?
Yeah.
Yeah?
That's
the
Rickles influence.
Yeah, it is. It really is. I'm so sorry about that. We make quick snap assumptions about people, and then we move on because we figure we're never going to see you again. So that's it. Yeah, that's all we do. And it's if we get a big laugh on it, then it's just like a little – we eat it, and then we move on to something else. So,
hey, Steve, congratulations on your success. Thanks for coming in here. Have a great weekend in Buffalo.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me back.
Steve Renazzisi, you know him from the show, the League, which was a 7-year run on FXX Network, and he's appearing tonight and tomorrow night, two shows each night at Helium Comedy Club.
Jeremy Sprinkles, get some.
Yeah, right.
Get
on your
some
ice
sprinkles
cream.
In Buffalo.
Helium Comedy Club in Buffalo tonight, two shows tonight, two more tomorrow. Our thanks to Steve Renazzisi for joining us. Back with more in a moment, including fake news, real news with Donald Jones. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.